Now, I'm about to preach to you one of my very favorite messages of all time. I preached this first in 2010. We were the church in the cornfield. We had just gone to two services, and this would be 1 month prior to launching our first building campaign that would raise $75,000 in 6 months to come to that building over there. And this message really touched a lot of people then, and then in 2017, I preached it again, but actually, I got to do an aside. I got to say one more thing before I preach this. This week, our government, as enlightened as they are, has released UFO files. Okay. I have a whole message on this that I've preached before. I'm not going to preach that today because today is Mother's Day. Couple things. Number one, you do see accounted for in the Bible the potential for Bigfoot. Absolutely. I'm not saying Bigfoot is real, but I'm saying that there were creatures that would match the description. Loch Ness Monster, sure. But even alien entities, absolutely, there are things in the Bible that people would think are UFOs. Absolutely. We'll get to that another time. Now, Oral Roberts said this a couple generations ago. He said, if there is life on other planets, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. I believe that for sure. But let me tell you what's really going on. Let me help you. Just make it plain. Gas, $5 a gallon. War, not going so hot. Epstein files are a disaster. Not one person has gone to jail for the Epstein files. There should be hundreds, if not thousands, in prison or dead because of the Epstein files. Don't give me the UFO files until you give us the Epstein files, you corrupt sons of guns. That's garbage, and it's a distraction, and they know it, and we know it. And don't give me another round of COVID, you bunch of morons. We're not stupid. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, Pastor, you're just some redneck preacher. Well, maybe I am. But I'll tell you, when Armageddon comes, the rednecks are going to win. You definitely want to have some redneck friends if it ever gets really bad. I'm telling you what. Listen, it really irked me. Really did. Give us accountability for the Epstein files. That's what we want. More than any other thing, you've got the elite of our society abusing children for a hobby. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Let's get into the Word. This message, very excited. Fantastic, faith-filled, happy families of the Bible. There's this mentality that when we come to Christ, that he does these amazing things for us, gives us joy, peace, causes things to go well. And that's true, very true. And we get this mentality that in the body of Christ, that when we get saved, all of a sudden our families are going to start working like clockwork. And all of a sudden, when you get saved and you took your kid to church this week, and your kid learned a memory verse, your kid did an object lesson, your kid, you know, did something, some things to do with the scriptures and learned the Bible, that now your siblings, your children, are going to get along all week long. That they're gonna be little angels. You don't have to worry about the cookies in the cookie jar. You don't have to worry about them telling little white lies. Your kids, when you say, would you please take out the trash? You took them to church this week. Yes, mother, I'll take out the trash. What else can I do, mother? You all are laughing. We think that, you know, when we go to church, our husbands are going to know instinctively, now that they've been to church, don't bring me a vacuum cleaner on my birthday. They're going to know how to be romantic. And your husband, watch this, ladies. Your husbands, because they went to church, they're going to be able to load the dishwasher properly. And quit picking his nose in public. Ladies, you went to church this week. And because you went to church, God's grace is upon you. You're going to be happy, happy, joy, joy, mother. Laundry is always going to be caught up. You're going to shave your legs every day, even in winter. And there's always going to be a healthy meal on the table every night. This is the Christian family we aspire to be. We all just get along, love each other. Happy, happy, joy. You wake up and it's like, you know, you don't even need to brush your hair or brush your teeth. You have good breath and your hair is already combed because you go to church, because you're a Christian. Well, folks, that's absolutely not true. At least, not maybe not for you, but for us, it's not true. I look pretty good from 8 to noon on a Sunday morning. But I usually screw it up some point by 3, 4 o'clock today. Don't laugh at me. You're by 1 o'clock. I want to take a moment here, and let's look at some people in the Bible and see how they did. And just see how you compare to the great heroes of our faith. Now, keep in mind, we have qualifications in the Bible for spiritual leadership. Okay, it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, talking about qualifications for especially a pastor. But it says that a pastor should rule his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So we know as spiritual leaders, there's an expectation that we have our house in relatively good order. So let's apply this now. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at the great patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith, and we'll see how they did with 2 Timothy chapter 3, how well they kept their house in submission. So you ready to go? And as we do, I want you to ask yourself, how am I doing compared to these people? And you may find out today that in all the craziness of your family, you're doing okay. Number one, Adam and Eve. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a house repossessed before. I have. When I was a kid, our house was repossessed. No fun. And then I'm so blessed in my adult life, I've been able to have stability of living situations. But when I was a kid, we didn't have that. We moved around a lot. Why? Because just mess. Adam and Eve were given a perfect life, no sin, walked and talked with God, named the animals, hang out with the animals, get to name the vet. I mean, just, they had the whole garden. I mean, can I tell you something? When I go into Menards or Lowe's or a greenhouse, and they got all the tomato plants, and they got all them pepper plants, and they got all the flowers, and all. I'll tell you, Dick Wells is right here. Dick is no longer doing it full time, but Dick was one of the premier orchid growers in the entire world, right here. Oh, Hilltop Orchids, just right up the street here. I mean, and he had these greenhouses full of not just orchids, but these beautiful, beautiful plants. And all year long, what was the temperature in there? About 60 degrees. So it could be the middle of January. There could be a foot of snow on the ground. You could go into Dick's greenhouse, several greenhouses, and walk up and down. And my wife loved this. She loved just, Andrew, let's go take a walk in the greenhouse. And so we hold hands, and you just smell the aroma of all the green. The air is so oxygen rich because of all the plants. It's 60 degrees, and you're surrounded by beautiful flowers. I just love, that's what Adam and Eve had. And they messed up their family so bad, they got evicted from their house. Wow. Repoed. Well, then their kids were a mess. So Adam, and they had two sons at first. And one of their sons, I got to make this quick, one of their sons gets jealous. They had such a sibling rivalry to the point that one hated the other. And he got so jealous that on one day, one son murders the other son in cold blood. Murders him. And then because of that egregious sin, he's banished and he leaves forever, never to be seen again by Adam and Eve. So in one single day, they lose not one, but two sons. And they have this reputation now. We've been evicted from our house. We blew the whole thing called humanity. And one of our sons was a murderer and the other one got killed. Folks, that's awful. Number two, Noah. Many of you have heard me talk about Noah. Noah's 500 years old. The ark has landed since the flood has receded. Noah and his children are reestablishing the earth. Praise God. Noah goes out, went to Menards, got himself some flowers, got some grapes, has a grape arbor, turns it into wine. Noah decides one night, I'm just going to get loaded here. And Noah gets loaded. The patriarch of the faith. 500-year-old man gets so drunk, he decides to take all of his clothes off, streaking down Main Street, and comes back and passes out in his tent. Folks, this is in your Bible. Patriarch, one of the greatest men of God ever to walk the face of the earth. And then one of his sons named Ham sees it, and Ham does this. Ham goes and says to his brothers, says, hey guys, Shem, Japheth, you got to see this. Dad, I mean, look, didn't Dad always tell us not to drink and not to get drunk and all that kind of, you should see Dad right now. He is drunk and passed out. Oh my gosh. And because of Ham's attitude, and because Noah sowed the bad seed here, but Ham did not respond, and Ham ends up banished and cursed, and he leaves the house forever. You have a broken relationship between father and son over this episode, okay? And Ham's race is going to be cursed from there on out. Now let me share this. This, I think, is important to say today. In the body of Christ right now, worldwide, we see that there are some ministries that are being exposed, okay? Some because of immorality, some because of spiritual manipulation, just heartbreaking things. Okay, some maybe finance, some have taken advantage of people in their congregation and preyed upon them as opposed to praying for them. We don't make light of that. Awful, awful. But there are some other people that have raised up themselves and they've made it their purpose in life to take all those failures and broadcast them as loud as they can on social media and other forms of media. Okay, that is the spirit of Ham. All right, listen, if a minister or a brother or a sister falls, our attitude ought to be weeping. Our attitude should be heartbreak. Does that make sense? Not indignation and pointing fingers. Now, there needs to be accountability. I'm not saying no accountability. I'm not saying don't hold those people accountable. I'm not saying they should still be in pulpits. Absolutely need to be held accountable, need to be taken from pulpit. Absolutely agree 100%. But don't allow the spirit of Ham to be upon us where we get some type of Pharisee-like joy from the failure of others. Does that make sense, everybody? I want you to embody that. And Andrew and I have known people personally, even closely, who have had those terrible falls. And we don't broadcast it. We don't shame them. The relationship is never going to be the same. But folks, we don't glory in that. That is not our testimony. That does not give glory to God to talk about that or to play the victim card on those type of things. Amen. So we pray. And one of the things we do to keep our hearts right is when we have a Noah situation. Look, this was a big deal. Noah, the patriarch, got skunk drunk, naked, and passed out. But the principle was the guy who exposed it and blabbed it, he didn't fare so well. Amen. Just a thought. Number three, Abraham. Oh, my goodness. Folks, I'm about to tell you some things that make the young and the restless look like a kids program. Abraham, Father Abraham, had many sons. You're one of them. So am I. So let's just praise the Lord. Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith. Abraham, the one who believed God and did impossible things. You ready for this? Put your seatbelts on. We need to start putting seatbelts on the chairs. Genesis chapter 12, first of all. He's going through a foreign land, and there's a powerful king there called Abimelech. And Abraham's like, wait a second, my wife's really pretty. What if he decides he wants to have my wife as his wife and just kills me? So he gets an idea. Watch this. Ladies, tell me how you'd feel about this. My sister. It's not my wife, that's my sister. And Abimelech is like, oh, can I have her? She's all yours. Folks, that is a mess. Absolute disaster. Do you know he does that twice in his life to another king as well? Two times. I'm just showing you for dramatic effect, but how dramatic it is if I were to take my wedding ring off and my wife is standing right here and say, that's not my wife. How many of y'all know that doesn't bode well? Abraham did that. All right, but wait, there's more. So Abraham and Sarah are having trouble conceiving a child. So Sarah comes up with this great idea. Hey, I know. I've got a maid. Her name is Hagar. Why don't you and Hagar get together and you guys can have a baby and I'll act like it's mine? And Abraham was like, okay, you talked me into it. So Abraham takes Hagar as his wife. Now, they have a baby named Ishmael. Okay? Now I don't know how who just didn't see this coming, but now that Hagar is wife and not maid, and Hagar has a kid, and Sarah doesn't have a kid, Hagar becomes rivalrous toward Sarah. And now you got strife and division between Sarah and Hagar. They're not getting along. They're butting heads. You've got a whole herd. Two women in the same kitchen don't work, right? Okay. Juanita said, not in mine. So a few years go by. There's a miracle. Sarah conceives. Hot dog, hallelujah. Has Isaac. Well, Sarah and Hagar are still duking it out. Isaac becomes a teenager. Ishmael is older. Ishmael begins to torment Isaac to the point of severe bullying, of severe torment that Isaac is no longer feels safe in his own home. There is this, and by the way, this is a blended family. Blended family, huh? And it's not going so hot, and it's kind of a mess. And finally, Sarah steps up and she says to Abraham, she says, something has to change. And she, look, she says, Abraham, nobody elbow anybody, nobody say amen here. But she says, Abraham, either she goes or I go. Either Ishmael goes or I go. Because the strife had got so bad that Abraham could not have peace in his home. It was awful. Now, folks, if you've been married for any length of time, Shelby and Tyler, hold your ears here. Okay, newlyweds, I think we got some other newlyweds here. Just plug your ears. But if you've been married for any length of time, this is where you don't amen. Don't just look straight forward. Don't elbow anybody. Just. But there's probably been a time in your house, even if your husband or wife or kids were all Christian, where it was something has to change. I can't do this anymore. Something has to shift. And folks, when you get to that point, you feel like, I am the worst Christian. I am a failure. It's not supposed to be like this. Why does it hurt so bad? I thought families were supposed to be in love. I thought, what happened to when we were, you know, in love and dating and everything was fun and happy and joy? You had kids. You got bills. You stopped, you know. Love is blind, marriage is the eye opener, all those things. But sometimes you've had to have that conversation with your kids. So a lot of you, not some of you, most of you have probably had to have a moment with your kid where you had to come to a place and say, look, I love you, but your attitude, the way you're acting, you can't stay here if that's how you're going to continue to act. You got a choice. You can either shape up or ship out. Many people have had to have that conversation. And you don't feel very Christian when you're having that conversation. You don't feel very spiritual when you're having that conversation. But folks, this is conversation that happens in most homes, even Christian homes. It's real. Now, if you've never had to have those conversations, you need to wake up in the first 60 minutes of the day. You just praise God. Oh, you want to know how it ends? Abraham leaves Hagar and Ishmael in the middle of a desert with a loaf of bread and a gallon of water. Here you go. That's a divorce, folks. That's a divorce and leaving them for dead. It was certain death. God intervened. God came and gave a miracle to Hagar and Ishmael of provision that they didn't die. But what Abraham was basically gave them enough food to get some distance, get a few miles between them so he wouldn't have to watch them die. That was what had happened there. Folks, that is awful. Oh my goodness, where'd the time go? I'm going to have to skip to Moses and finish with Moses, but we don't have time for David. We don't have time for Esau. We don't have time for Jacob and Isaac and Lot, but I'm just going to go straight to Moses. Now, this is going to, folks, this is material for Maury, for Jerry Springer. This is a mess, what I'm about to tell you. Now, this is Moses, Big Mo, and I'm telling you, Moses was, he was on fire for God. He was a man of God, a man of miracles, a man of power, a man of great heart of compassion. He was known as a prayer warrior. He was known as humble. He was very humble. So Moses was raised in Egypt. Egypt is where all the Jews were slaves. And he fled because of his temper problem. Moses had a temper issue, by the way. And because of his temper, he killed somebody, and so he fled to avoid being prosecuted. So then he goes to a place called Midian. He's there for 40 years. God comes to him, says, Moses, I'm going to call you back to Egypt, and you're going to be a deliverer to the Israelites. You're going to bring them free out of slavery. Moses tries to talk his way out of it. God convinces him, you got to do this. So Moses says, yes, God, I'll go. And then the next thing we know, Moses is on route from Midian to Egypt. And they get a few miles on their journey, and God comes to Moses. Now, folks, it's in the Bible. But God said, Moses, oh, by the way, Moses, I'm going to kill you. What do you mean you're going to kill me? Moses, you haven't circumcised your sons and they're teenagers. You should have done it when they were born. You haven't done it. You can't be a deliverer to my people if you don't have your own household in order. Get them circumcised. Okay, so fair enough, Moses neglected a responsibility, a spiritual responsibility in raising his sons. But does it stop there? No. Moses says, I don't want to do it. Not going to do it. Now, ladies, Mother's Day. You remember how many diapers you changed, how many times you got spit up on, how many times you had to deal with the teething, how many times you dealt with all the difficulties of being a mother of a young child. But about the age of two, you stopped changing their diapers. And really, from that point forward, you don't ever want to be down there again. The boys were teenagers at this point. Moses refused to circumcise them, even though God was going to kill him if he didn't. So Moses' wife steps in and says, I'll do it. Folks, I don't know about the word trauma, but I think if you look it up, it would be somewhere close to your mother circumcised you when you were a teenager. Happy Mother's Day. Dear God, I'm telling you, Moses' wife circumcised not the babies, the teenage boys, to save the family. That is absolutely absurd. Can I just tell you something, ladies? Some of you ladies, think about you single moms for a minute. Think about you ladies out there. Some of you ladies, you've had to raise kids without the help of a good father involved in their lives. If you've done that, God bless you. And sometimes some of you, maybe you're married, but the father isn't as involved as he should be, especially spiritually. God's going to give you the grace to bring your kids up in the Lord. Amen? And even though as much as I hate about this story, God bless Moses' wife for doing what Moses refused to do. Isn't that good stuff? I, you know, religion hates women. It really does. But man, when we study the Bible, we cannot help but to see they are, at the very least, are equal as men. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, God loved you so much, he allowed you, ladies, to feel the pain in childbirth so that you would know what it's like for your husband when he has a cold. Too close to home for some. Look, I don't have time today. I ran out of time. But let me share this. There were people, patriarchs of the faith, whose daughters were raped. Okay? There were people, patriarchs of the faith, who lost their spouses. There were people of the faith who had to deal with adultery. There were people, patriarchs and matriarchs of the faith, who dealt with every hardship, with blended families that did not blend well, with sibling rivalries, with murder, all those things. And folks, when you read the book of Genesis, it tops the reality television. It tops Jerry Springer. It tops The Young and the Restless. And here's what I want you to get. Number one, most of y'all, your family's doing okay. You're going to make it. Number two, here's the, God took those messes and he turned them into blessings. God took those disasters and turned them into patriarchs and matriarchs and testimonies that changed the world. And so today, as you're going through, and I don't have to be a prophet to know your family's probably not perfect. And people sometimes they call and they're like, Pastor, I'm so sorry. To air a little dirty line. It's like, I've been there, heard that. You know, it's nothing new. But some of the most grievous things that maybe you've gone through, the patriarchs went through, the matriarchs went through, and God took it and turned it into a blessing. All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You know, and God bless my mom. You know, 1973, when Roe v. Wade went into effect, she was a teenage pregnancy. And God bless my mom for taking a mess and turning it into what I consider a blessing. Amen. And so many others who've done the same. So I just share that with you today. God bless you. I pray your families are blessed. I pray your families know the love of God. I know maybe you have an uncle that has addiction. Maybe you've been divorced and you feel second class. You're not second class. Maybe you've been through abuse and you know you're struggling and hurting. Listen, God's got a way of healing that. He absolutely does. Absolutely. Maybe you're divorced and you're trying to raise a kid and it's kind of an uncooperative parent relationship. God's going to give you grace for that. You know, maybe you are a blended family and you've had a few issues with his kids, her kids, that type of thing. There's grace for that. There is an amazing power of God, a wisdom of God that can help you to bring it together. And you know, Jesus had a blended family. And at first it didn't work out so well. By the time it was all said and done, they were willing to die for him. So don't think there's ever anything in your family that's not accounted for in the scripture that God can't handle. He can handle it. He can handle you. And I believe today every marriage getting closer. I believe today every relationship between parent and child getting closer. I believe today that every what you feel in your heart is a black mark, like it's a mark of hurt, a mark of affliction. I believe in the name of Jesus that today those afflictions, those hurts, those shames are being ministered to by the grace of God. I believe there are sometimes people here today and maybe you lost a loved one and you go back and say, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, I wish I should have. But in the name of Jesus, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that your family is covered by the blood of Jesus, that your family is strong in Christ, and you're not all you're going to be, but you're on your way, praise God. And the problems that you've experienced, the hardships you've experienced, God's going to take those things and use them as a foundation to build the blessing on your life that he wants to build, the testimony. Amen. We need to let you go so you can go eat your barbecue, take care of your mama. Hallelujah. We love you so much. We're back here Wednesday night. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless these people as they go. I pray a special blessing on our moms today. And God, I pray for families today, that our families would know the peace of God, the love of God. They would know the help of God, the hand of God. And Lord, for those, all of us, that when we have our imperfections in our family, I pray for the grace of God being shed abroad in our heart and bringing us to that place of healing and victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we'll have prayer partners up here. If you need prayer for anything, I'll see you out there in the foyer. God bless you.